If you're looking for the perfect gift, you're covered with a gift that's sure to wow. Taste of Chicago ships Lou Malnati's legendary deep dish pizzas nationwide. Plus, they ship other Windy City favorites too. Visit tasteofchicago.com to order today.
Distinguished University Professor of Political Science and Legal Studies at Hamline University, David Schultz is also the author of many books, including Generation Politics in the U.S. I don't think this is a generational issue now, but we asked David Schultz to join us and talk about birthright citizenship. Hi, David. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me again.
What's the 14th Amendment say?
What the 14th Amendment says, if I can put it into English, is that if you are born in U.S. on U.S. soil, you are a U.S. citizen. And the courts have affirmed that proposition. Now, why do we have that? That amendment was one of several amendments adopted after the Civil War to address the problem of slavery, because without that amendment, it would be possible to say that somebody who is born in the United States does not qualify for citizenship, regardless of what their, let's say, immigration status is. But in the case of what we're talking about with the Civil War, it was to basically make it clear that regardless of your skin color, if you are born in the United States territory, you are a U.S. citizen and you have rights.
So an enslaved person who might have counted as three-fifths of a congressional vote, for instance. I mean, whatever their status was, however dubious it might have been post-Civil War, this ensured that those people of color would be citizens of this United States, right?
Absolutely correct. Yes, correct. Okay.
Okay, but at the same time, we had people coming from other countries to this country, and they were having children who would therefore benefit from that. Did the law anticipate that, or was it intended for that purpose as well?
Primarily, it was to address a court case called Dred Scott versus Sanford, which was really sort of growing out of slavery, kind of, you know, the problems of slavery from, you know, before the Civil War. But in the debates, from what we can put together, Congress was anticipating the idea of saying that people who've come to the United States, and if they give birth to a child, that child would be a citizen of the United States. United States is one of, I don't know how many, but many countries that honor that rule, that say that
really?
Being born within the territorial water or territorial boundaries of the country makes you a citizen.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting, too. As that is in the Constitution, though that it might not have been primarily intended for the application that we're talking about today, that is
correct,
undocumented people in the United States having a child who is therefore a citizen of the United States, their parents aren't. In theory, I guess, we could force those people to leave the country, but the child could stay as a citizen of the U.S. There's something illogical about that, isn't there? I mean, I understand the conundrum that this creates.
No, you're right. There's something illogical, but what it does is, if you were to get rid of the amendment, what you're essentially saying is that we're creating a kind of like a two-tier level of rights of individuals in the United States, that those who are born in the United States can be treated in different ways. And if we think in terms of some other clauses of the Constitution, like the Equal Protection Clause that says, you know, we shouldn't discriminate, we should treat everybody equally.
Mm-hmm.
And just the promise of the United States that says that, you know, we're all supposed to be, equal. The amendment really is meant to live up to the ideals of what our Constitution was supposed to try to achieve.
Well, the most important question to me is, can the president sign an order that would trump the 14th Amendment. But before we even get to that, though, as a practical matter, and there's nothing practical about this, they're not going to do this. They don't have the constitutional means and they don't have the manpower to do it. But just suppose, let's just play it out. If this is what you want to do and you understand, if for no other reason, it just doesn't make any sense that a child born here to undocumented individuals suddenly has documentation. Okay, fine. But then what happens to those people who are citizens or are born here birthright? Are they going to be therefore not citizens, and therefore are they going to be asked to or forced to leave? I mean, what's the plan for these newly undocumented citizens? Do you have any expectation or answer to that?
I don't have any to that. And generally, there's been only a very few number of cases, and I'm going to say under five and maybe even less, where individuals who emigrated here legally, got citizenship, and then had citizenship stripped from them because they applied for it under false pretenses or something like that. Once you're a citizen, it's nearly impossible to take your citizenship rights away, and in this case, to deport somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, the way I view it also is that it would require tens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars, as well as an incredible, let's say, administrative machinery to undertake that type of an action. Then I just don't know if we have the dollars or the capacity to do that, even if we wanted to do so.
If the president had signed an order, would it go like this, David? Then a person would challenge it. It would go to the courts. It would go to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court would ultimately decide if this application of the 14th Amendment is germane or not. The Supreme Court may decide that the president has that order because it's an illegitimate application of the 14th Amendment to apply it to these undocumented parents having a documented child. But as it sits right now, the president can't write an order that supersedes the Constitution, can he?
He cannot do so. Presidents have a certain amount of what's called executive order authority, but those orders generally inherit power under Article 2 of the Constitution. They don't carry the force of law. Those kind of executive orders that presidents can issue under Article 2 power is to say, I want my staff to spend more time figuring out how to cut taxes or how to do X, Y, Z. Presidents also have some authority from Congress under delegated authority that gives them a power to do executive orders. But in neither case does the president have the authority to issue executive orders that overturn the Constitution or to go contrary to the Constitution. This is about a bedrock principle that's firmly in place in our constitutional law, that when there's a conflict between the Constitution, a law, an executive order, or anything else, what wins? The Constitution.
David Schultz is a distinguished university professor of political science and legal studies at Hamline University. He's the author of many books, including Things That Determine the Elections, States That Determine Elections, and Generational Politics in the United States, From the Silence to Gen Z and beyond. If you've got a political junkie in your household, here's the perfect stocking stuffer. It's called Generational Politics in the United States. Nice to talk to you today, David.
Thanks, Chad.